Dobrý den, já se mluvám za malé zdržení. Můžeme začít s přednáškou platformním vývoji. Rád představil kolegu Mateu Flagányho, který vám řekne potom víc. Tak, máte se.
Hello everybody. I apologize, but yesterday my computer decided to die, so we will be a little bit creative today. The colleagues are doing a great job in trying to find some backup computer, so we'll find a way to show you everything. I'm here today to talk to you about the cross-platform development with Visual Studio. And since we will spend the whole day together, I would like to introduce me. My name is Matteo Pagani and I work in Italy for a program called App Consult in Microsoft, which is a program tailored to support Windows and Windows Phone development. I'm based in Italy, even if my job is spread across all Western Europe. I've been a Windows Phone MVP for 5 years. Now the category is changed and it's called the Windows Development Platform. And I love, well, my wife first, because otherwise she can be jealous. And then TV shows, movies, comics, you'll understand why, because some of the demos I will use today will show my passion for these things. So, which is the agenda of today? What are you going to see today? The topic is cross-platform development, which is pretty widespread. We will focus on 2.5, let's say, different things. The first one, and it will be the core part of the day, we will spend most of the time talking about this, is Xamarin. Xamarin is a third-party platform, so it's not a Microsoft platform, even if we have a very tight relationship with Xamarin, so we work together very closely. And it's a platform that allows C# and .NET developers to reuse their skills to create applications also for Android and iOS. And we're going to see a brief introduction about what is Xamarin, how does it work, how it makes possible to reuse C# skills to develop apps for other platforms. And then we'll go into some specific platform features, and we're going to see how you can leverage Xamarin to create Android apps, how you can leverage Xamarin to create iOS apps, how you can work with databases in Xamarin, and then we'll see also the recent platform that Xamarin added to the basket, which is Xamarin Forms, which is a way to share not just the logic of our application, but also the user interface. The second topic we're going to see is Cordova. Cordova is another open source technology which is especially appreciated by web developers, because it allows to create a mobile application reusing web skills, so HTML, JavaScript. And Cordova is a plugin. The original name was PhoneGap. Now it's called Cordova, and it's part of the Apache Foundation. And basically, what Cordova does under the hood is that it provides a plugin that allows you to perform JavaScript calls, which under the hood are calling native APIs. And these, so you have a plugin model for every platform, and all the plugins are converged into a single JavaScript library. So for example, if you use the JavaScript APIs to get the location of the user, it will work on every platform, because under the hood you have a plugin that translates this JavaScript code into the native platform code. And we're going to see what is Cordova, how you can use third-party libraries in Cordova, so if you are a web developer, how you can reuse your AngularJS, Bootstrap, Knockout skills. And then we'll see also how the Cordova story is changing with Windows 10. Since at Build, we announced a couple of things which are very interesting regarding Cordova development. And then we'll see a little bit of a cross-platform in my home, meaning in Microsoft House. It's not really cross-platform, but with Windows 10 we are enabling developers to create application that runs on every device that runs Windows 10. So you can create a single package, a single app that runs on phone, tablet, PCs, Xbox One, IoT boards like the Raspberry Pi and stuff like that. So we're going to see briefly how this universal Windows platform you'll be able to create apps that are able to target all these devices and how you can have a single common code base and at the same time being able to leverage the different features that every platform has. So if you have questions, just ask. I'm here the whole day to help you, so don't be shy. If you are too shy or if maybe you don't have questions now, but as soon as you start working with these things, some questions may come out. Here are my contacts, so write me mails, ping me on Twitter. Maybe if it's a question, better on mail because 140 chars are too small. But don't make any problems, just ask me. So let's begin. And let's see how Visual Studio is. No, it's not shipping good. Okay. Let's start with Xamarin. So we'll see a little bit of introduction about how Xamarin works and how under the hood it manages to create applications with non-native languages. Maybe if I do OneDrive. No, it redirects me there. And this no, the icon appeared. Maybe something is happening. Okay, we made it. So, it's always nice when you when you take 2 weeks to prepare the stuff and then your PC crashes the day before. Okay, introduction to Xamarin, this is it. Okay, in this first introduction we're going to see how cross-platform development, how Xamarin fits into the cross-platform development story, so which are the main differences between the Xamarin approach and the other approaches. And then we'll see the requirements that you need to create applications with Xamarin, and which are the ways that Xamarin offers to developers to create application using their platform. So cross-platform development, well, if you are here, I think that you are already familiar with this problem. So I guess that many of you here works with mobile development. And if when you work with customers, it's unlikely that a customer comes to you and asks, oh, I want a mobile application and I want it just for iOS, or just for Android, or just for Windows Phone. Probably it will want the application for all of the platform, or at least for all the platforms that has an high market share in the country where you live. And this is another factor to consider, because the market share of the mobile platform can change a lot from one country to another. So you have countries where Android is much, much more sold than iOS, countries where iOS is more popular, countries where like Italy, or also here they told me that Windows Phone has a good market share, so there's interest from companies and developers about developing apps for Windows Phone. In an imaginary world, it would be great to be able to write the application and run it on every platform, no matter what. Of course, in the real world, it's not the case. So if you target Windows Phone, you need to know C#, VB.NET, or maybe JavaScript and HTML. You need to know XAML, and you need to use Visual Studio as a development environment. If you want to target iOS, you need to know Objective-C, or the new language created by Apple called Swift, and Xcode. Again, if you want to create apps for Android, you need to know Java, and you need to use a tool like Eclipse or Android Studio, or there are many third-party tools around the world. So, as you can understand, the pros of having a traditional native approach is that you can achieve the maximum performances because the app is written using the native languages and tools, so you get the best performances, and you can use all the features that the owner of the platform decided to share with the developer. So you can, if you are working with Android, you can use all the Android features and APIs. The same for iOS, the same for Windows Phone. Which are the problems of the native approach? That you need, as we've seen in the previous slide, you need to know programming languages and tools which are really, really different from each other. So if I go out and look for a mobile developer, it's pretty impossible that I find a mobile developer that knows extremely well how to create apps for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, because they are three completely different languages and tools. So maybe, you know, he can know a bit about one and more one other, but a complete knowledge of all the three platforms and all the three tools is pretty complicated. But for me, in my opinion, this isn't the worst, the biggest problem, because as we're going to see, Xamarin, for example, it's not a one-man band technology, meaning that with Xamarin you don't become a multiple developer that can work on every platform on your own. If you are working on a complex project, probably you'll still need three different developers or three different teams per platform. The biggest problem of the native approach is that you have three completely different code bases to maintain, and the code bases don't talk to each other. So if I work in the Android team, I can talk with my iOS colleague and we can talk about how a feature can be implemented from a high-level point of view, how we solve the one problem. But we can't share the knowledge about the code we wrote. And having three different code bases to maintain means that if I have a bug on the Android platform, it doesn't mean that I have it also on iOS. Maybe on iOS I have another kind of bug, and on Windows Phone I have another bug again. And if my customer comes and asks me, well, I want to add this feature, I need to add it three times with three different tools and with different APIs. The other approach for creating cross-platform application that we're going to see better when we talk with Cordova, about Cordova, is using web development technologies. Cordova is the most popular, but there are also other alternatives. For example, Telerik also provides a framework to create web development, web applications for mobile. And as I explained before, they are all based on a user interface created with HTML and JavaScript libraries that give you access to the native APIs of the platform. What happens is that the applications runs basically in a web view. So the application contains just a web view, and the web view takes care of displaying the HTML you provided. There's an exception, we'll see it better during the Cordova session, which is Windows. Since Windows 8.1 is able to run HTML apps natively, because you can use WinJS, web Cordova applications on Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1 doesn't run in a web view, but they run natively. Which are the pros of the web development approach? Well, in this case, you can be one-man developer because you create the application just once and without doing anything, it runs on every platform. And since everything is shared, the UI, the JavaScript APIs, and so on, you don't have to do tricks to make it working on one platform or the other. It simply works. And this solution is really appreciated by people that has a web background. Maybe you already work for a company and you do web development. Then a customer comes and asks to you, well, I want a mobile app. With these technologies, you are able to reuse your skills and create a mobile app for him. So if you use jQuery, AngularJS, TypeScript, all these kind of languages and libraries for JavaScript, you can reuse
all of them.
The cons of this approach typically are performances, because except for the Windows story, since applications run in a web view, they don't run at full speed like a native application. Things have improved a lot and are improving, because in all the releases of the new platforms, like the new iOS updates, the new Android updates, and so on, the power and the speed of the web view that is embedded into application is improved a lot. Even if this consideration depends a lot by the platform you are targeting. For example, for iOS, you have better performances because you have less devices on the market, meaning that there are just a couple of models, so there is not a fragmentation like on Android, and all the iOS devices are very powerful, so you don't have a cheap iPhone device with low specifications. On Android it can be more a problem because on Android there's a lot of fragmentation, meaning that there are a lot of devices with completely different specification, and you can get you can have devices from €50 to €900, so from very cheap phones to very expensive and very powerful phones. And the other problem is that the update story on Android is not that great, because since all the updates need to be provided by the manufacturer of the device, sometimes, especially if it's not a high-level phone, Android devices are left on their own, so they don't receive the new Android versions. And another problem is that the mobile or manufacturer that creates the phone is able to customize the Android image and have a different subset of the Chrome web view. So Chrome has evolved into multiple versions, but on the market you can have 10 phones, and all of them they are using a different Chrome subset. So this means that when you are using web technologies, you have to be careful, especially on Android testing, because you can have unpredicted behaviors. The other problem is that you have a common user interface, which is great because you created the user interface just once. But the problem is that I challenge you to create a user interface that looks good on every platform. Now probably it will be simpler, also because for example Windows, with Windows 10 we are reaching a sort of convergence across the different layouts, so you have some similarities between all the platforms, but there are some user interface differences between Android, iOS and Windows Phone. So creating an application that looks good on each platform, it's a big challenge. And I don't think there's a solution for this challenge unless you decide that the user interface of the application is not your primary goal. And the other problem is that since you are creating an application, a single application that runs on every device, you can target only the APIs that are in common every platform, between each platform. So you can target storage, you can target GPS, you can target sensors, but for example if you want to target HealthKit, which is something that exists only in iOS, you can't. If you want to target light tiles, which is something that exists only on Windows Phone, you can't. You can write your own plugins, but these plugins will be just for the platform, because you don't have the concept of light tile on Android or iOS, for example. How Xamarin fits in all this story I'm telling you? Well, Xamarin is a project that is born from the ashes of the Mono project. And Mono is still an important part of Xamarin. Mono is an open source implementation of the framework, of the .NET framework, and it's been created to allow .NET developers to create applications using .NET also for other platforms like Linux. Xamarin is based on Deep Mono, and as a consequence it allows to leverage the Mono virtual machine and features and implementation to create Android and iOS applications using C# and Visual Studio. So the most important thing here is that you are able to share code, because the iOS and the Android and the Windows apps are made with the same technologies. So we are talking about three different platforms with different APIs, different features, but we have a common language. So we can have libraries that can target all the three platforms. You can reuse your C# skills. So if you are here, I guess that you have, you know Microsoft technologies, and probably you are a C# developer or you work with Visual Studio. So this is very powerful if you need to add mobile development to a company that already uses Microsoft technologies. Your team or your developers will still need to learn something new, but they don't have to learn a new language or a new tool in the process. There are three things that for me are the most powerful things that Xamarin can offer, which are: the first one is native user interface, meaning that you can create a Xamarin application with a shared common base in C#, Visual Studio, but using the native tools to define the user interface. This means that even if you are not using the native languages and tools, you are able to create an application that looks exactly like a native application. So you can use all the user interface elements of Android or iOS, of Windows, and so on. The second feature that for me is very important is that you have access to all the platform features, because what Xamarin does is to take all the Android and iOS APIs, and it gives these APIs to you using C#. So you still have to learn these APIs, because we are still talking about Android and iOS, but you don't have to learn a new language in the middle. You can still use the C# and the .NET naming convention you already know. So it's not learning a new language, but like learning how to use a new library. And the third powerful feature is that you have access to all the APIs offered by the platform. I was thinking about the performances. I confused the two things. The first thing was performances. So usually the problem of cross-platform development is that you don't get the same performances, for example, as we've seen with Cordova. You don't get the same performances of a native app. Instead, as we're going to see in the next slides, Xamarin compiles your application using the same tools and the same build process that are used by Eclipse or Xcode. So in the end, you get a package that has the same performances of a native application. The only difference is that since in these packages, Xamarin needs to embed the Mono runtime, because the Mono runtime doesn't come pre-installed on iOS or Android devices. Usually, a Xamarin application is the size of the package of a Xamarin application. The one that you upload on the store and that the user downloads from the store is a little bit bigger than a native one, because it needs to have all the Mono infrastructure required by Xamarin. So Xamarin is born, as I've already mentioned, from Mono, which is the open source implementation of C# or .NET. Now also Microsoft has started to open source the .NET framework. So you can go on GitHub and start downloading the code of some pieces of the .NET framework. However, Xamarin is still based on Mono, because Mono has ported as open source also many things which right now are not open source yet in .NET framework, because what we have open sourced right now is all the .NET framework features required for web development. We're not there yet for the standard desktop development, because it's a bit challenging, because when you go to other platforms, you don't have the same APIs and the same features you have on Windows. So it's based on Mono, and Mono is available for many platforms. It's used to create applications for Linux, BSD, Windows, game consoles. For example, the PlayStation supports Mono. You have Mono Game, which is a or open source implementation of XNA to create games. There are, it's based on a lot of products. And Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android are based on Mono, so it's an important part of the product. How does it work, the Xamarin connection with iOS? Well, Code is 100% native, thanks to the fact that Xcode uses ahead of time compilation, meaning that when you build a project, it's immediately compiled into native code. And the same approach is used by Xamarin. So Xamarin takes your existing C# code and creates a native package, which runs directly on the device. Again, since we have this bridge between C# and iOS, you are able to access to all the iOS APIs, but with a C# syntax and naming convention, and also base types, meaning that you can work with string, int, all the, you can use link, you can use all the features that are part of the C# language and the .NET framework. And Xamarin offers also support to all the flavors of iOS, so you have support to Apple Watch, to iPhone, to iPod, to iPad, and what Xamarin does a great job to keep his platform always up to date. So usually they provide same day updates for the platform. So Apple releases iOS 9, the same date you get Xamarin with support with the new APIs and the new features that Apple introduced in iOS 9. Since the iOS for Xamarin performs a ahead of time compilation, which means that when you start to build the project, the build process does a static analysis of the code. It means that some of the C# features that instead would require a dynamic approach, like generics in a class type, reflection, dynamic code generation is not supported. So this is the runtime model of iOS. You have the Mono runtime, which is the runtime that takes care of giving you access to all the .NET APIs. And you have the .NET base class library, which is the same base class library that you find on all the platform. So it gives you access to all the C# features. They are bundled together, then compiled in native code, and the result is that the native code, since we're talking about native code, you are able to use all the native APIs. So you can use MapKit, HealthKit, UIView Controller, and so on. Xamarin on Android instead uses an approach which is similar to the one offered by the standard .NET framework. So the C#, when you build the project, Xamarin creates a package, which is the APK package, it's the standard package format for Android, and converts the C# code into intermediate language. And the intermediate language is embedded into the package. When the app is installed and it's launched for the first time, the intermediate language, using just-in-time compilation, is converted into native code. And if you are familiar with the .NET development, it's the same approach used by the .NET framework. So it creates this intermediate language. Even if now on Windows and Windows Phone with the new .NET native, things are changing a little bit. So now also on Windows and Windows Phone, we have basically ahead of time compilation. So the package you build on, you upload on the store is already compiled into native code. In fact, I don't know if you had the chance to do some experiments with Windows 10, but if you create a new Windows 10 package, you will notice that in Visual Studio, you don't have, you in the drop-down that you use to choose the architecture, so ARM x86, x64, you don't have anymore any CPU option, because you can't prepare an application anymore just for one platform. Just for all the platform, all the architecture, because native code can't be cross-compiled. It needs to be compiled for a specific architecture. But the store takes care, we'll see this in the last session, the store takes care of this for you. So you just upload the package and it automatically downloads from the store the right one from for the architecture of the device of the user. Also Android, also Xamarin for Android supports all the versions of Android. So you get support for Kindle Fire, for Android Wear, for Android TV. All the branches of Android are supported. And the approach, the runtime model used by Android is that you have the mono virtual machine, which is the environment that takes care of generating the IIL code for you, bundling it with the resources and creating the packages. Then the package is compiled into native code and executed by the Dalvik cart virtual machine, which is the virtual machine that is installed on every Android device and takes care of launching the application and preparing the application. The final result is the same we've seen with iOS, so you have access to all the native APIs. So you have access to the Google Play services, to activity fragments, and so on. Which are some other features that Xamarin offers to its developers and its customers? Well, as I've already said, you have same-day support for new Android and iOS releases, and you have also designers integrated in the tools. So you have an Android and iOS designer directly integrated into the environment, which is pretty cool because they are advanced and they allow you to do things that the native environments doesn't support. So they are very powerful. Plus, Xamarin offers two platforms to provide other additional services. The first one is called the Xamarin Test Cloud, and it's helpful when you need to test application for Android. Basically, this Test Cloud platform gives you access to all the combination in the world of Android devices. So you have like 45,000 different devices, or each with each its Android version, amount of memory, amount of storage, CPU power, and so on. You can define some tests, so you run the application and try to do this, try to do the also visual tests. So run the application, try to tap here, try to tap here, and it will run all of them on every device. And then you get a report that will tell you, okay, this test is failing on this device, this is the reason, and so on. The other platform is called Xamarin Insight, which is an analytics tool. So there are many of these analytics tools. We have Microsoft, we have the Azure Application Insights. Xamarin Insight is an alternative tool which can be easily integrated into Xamarin apps and allows to collect data about crashes and app usages. So it's helpful to keep the app in a good state or to get statistics when you have your app on the store. Which are the requirements to create applications with Xamarin? Well, when you download the package, the installer, you get a tool called Xamarin Studio, which is the tool that Xamarin provides for create application with this platform. It's included in the Xamarin license. Every Xamarin license has a Xamarin Studio, also the starter one, which is the free one. It's available for Windows and OS X, and it supports Android and iOS development. It doesn't support Windows development. However, Android, iOS support is available only on OS X due to, as we're going to see, due to technical and legacy restrictions. Otherwise, you can use Visual Studio. So when you install the tools, you get integration with Visual Studio. And with Visual Studio 2015, we have started to package the Xamarin tools into Visual Studio. So when you start the setup of Visual Studio 2015, you can choose to do a custom installation, and in the list of additional tools that you can install, you can find Xamarin. So if you just want to use Visual Studio and you don't want to use Xamarin Studio, you can just install Visual Studio 2015 and get the tools from there. Visual Studio, it's the only environment that supports every platform. So with Visual Studio, you can target Android, iOS, Windows, and Windows Phone. As I've told you before, you can't create iOS applications on a Windows machine due to both technical and legacy issues. Technical because we are on Windows, so we don't have the runtime required to compile Apple iOS applications, and legally because Apple doesn't allow to have their runtime or their platform running on a Windows PC. So there are some people that are using a virtual machine with some hacks that runs on a PC, but it's not legal because Apple doesn't allow that. Apple allows to run a virtual machine with OS X only on an OS X server or client platform. So you need a Mac. If you don't want to violate the Apple license, you need a Mac. And if you don't want to use a Mac to develop, so the most common approach is I get a Mac, since instead Microsoft doesn't have any limitation in using Windows on a virtual machine, you install Windows as a virtual machine on Mac and you use both of them. If you don't want to use this approach because you have a Windows PC and you want to use it as a main machine, for example, I know many people that decided they work with Xamarin, but they are mainly Windows developers. So they, instead of buying a MacBook Pro, for example, which is pretty expensive, they decided to buy a Mac Mini, which is less expensive and it's smaller. They put it connected in their network and they are using it basically as a build machine. Because Xamarin provides a tool called Xamarin Build Host, which you can install on the Mac machine. And when you install this tool and the Mac and the PC are on the same network, they can talk to each other. So you continue to create the application on Windows, but every time Xamarin needs to do something that is supported only on the Mac, like using the designer, building the app, launching the app on the emulator or on the device, Xamarin goes to the Mac machine, perform the operation and get back the result. For Android instead, the story is simpler, because Android doesn't have any specific requirements. It works both on Mac and on Windows. You can test the apps using a device or using the standard emulator by Google, which I don't suggest at all, because things have improved a bit, but the Google emulator is still the worst one when it comes to performances. There are much better alternatives, which are Gainemotion, which is, if you are using it for personal purposes, it's free, and it's based on VirtualBox. Or you have Xamarin Android Player, which is another emulator created by Xamarin, still based on VirtualBox as virtual technology, virtualization technology. The hell has frozen because with Visual Studio 2015 also asked Microsoft we have added an Android emulator. So when you install Visual Studio 2015, you get an Android emulator which runs on Hyper-V. And this, if you are doing cross-platform development, at least for me, it's the best pros of using this emulator, because since Gainemotion and Xamarin Android Player are based on VirtualBox, VirtualBox doesn't play well with Hyper-V. So the only way to get these emulators running is to disable Hyper-V, which means that the Windows Phone emulator won't work anymore. So with this, with the Microsoft emulator, you will be able to have the Windows Phone and Android emulation side by side. The only downside of our emulator is that it's based on the open source image of Android, which means that all the Google services are missing. So if you are creating an application that uses Google services like the Maps, in-app purchase, stuff like that, it won't work on our emulator. You will need to use a real device or another emulator. Xamarin is a paid product. It's not a Microsoft product, but it's made by a different company, so it's not. It's integrated into Visual Studio, but it's not free for Visual Studio developers. There are different licenses, but the most popular one is Business, because the starter is is the free one, and it's pretty limited. You have a limitation in the size of the package that you can create. It doesn't integrate with Visual Studio. You don't have Xamarin Forms. Indie is a little better because you have Xamarin Forms. You don't have limitation over the packages, but you don't have Visual Studio integration. So the best one is the Business one. The good thing is that Xamarin has also a monthly subscription model, so you can decide to try it for a couple of months, 3 months, so using for some months, so you don't have to pay the whole license for a year. If I remember well, the Business license is $89 per year, something like that. However, if you are an MSDN subscriber, so you have a MSDN subscription to get Visual Studio, Windows, and so on, there are discounts. So you can get you can save some money when you buy the Xamarin license. There's a free license for the students and open source developers. And the Xamarin Plus, at the beginning of the year, in January, they announced a new starter edition with less limitation, which will be integrated into Visual Studio Community, which is the free version that we have recently launched of Visual Studio. However, this new starter edition isn't out yet. So for the moment, you still have to use the starter, the old starter, if you want a free product, which again, it's pretty limited. And then there are the developer programs, because if you want to publish an application on the stores, every platform has its own developer program to publish application on the different platforms. The iOS one, surprise, it's the most expensive one, and it's the most limited one, meaning that the price is $99 per year, and if you want to deploy enterprise apps, there's another subscription. So you are creating an app for a company and you want to distribute it into a controlled environment. You don't want the apps on the store. There's an additional license of $300 per year. I say additional because if you want to have both, so you want to distribute apps on the store and for a company, you need both of them. So it's not like, for example, also on Windows, the company account is more expensive than the individual one, but it allows you to do both. On Apple, you need, they are two separate things. So if you buy just the enterprise program, you don't have the right to publish apps on the store. It's required if you want to deploy apps on a device. So without this license, without this program, you can just deploy apps on the simulator. And if you want to use some features, like in a purchase, push notification, game center, you have to get the developer program. These APIs won't work without this program. If you don't renew the program, the subscription, your apps are removed from the store. So if you want to keep your apps on the store, you need to pay the subscription every year. On Android, there's a one-time fee of $25, and it's not required to deploy apps on devices. So you can deploy apps on the emulator, on the device, you can do whatever you want. The only limitation is that to use the features that are hosted by Google, like in-app purchase, push notification services, and so on, you need to have the developer program because they will give you the keys to get access to these services. For Windows instead, you have a $19 one-time fee. It's a $99 fee instead if you are a company. And you can unlock up to one device for free. Once you have once you are subscribed to the program, instead you can unlock up to three devices. This is changing, however, because we have changed the model with Windows 10. Because now, if you want to unlock a Windows Phone device, you need to connect the phone on the PC, launch a tool which is called the Windows Phone Registration, and insert your Microsoft account credential and unlock the phone. Starting with Windows 10, you'll be able to unlock the phone directly from a setting in the application, in the settings page. So you go in settings, you go in developers, and you say, okay, I want to use this device for development, and it's unlocked. You need to have this subscription if you want to use Microsoft services, like in a purchase or push notification, and you have the chance to publish both on Windows and Windows Phone Store. With Windows 10, again, this is changing because you don't have any more multiple stores, but you will have just one store. So the subscription will be just once, and you will be able to publish apps for every platform. If you want to add, there are a lot of third-party libraries that work with Xamarin, especially because Xamarin fully supports portable class library. So everything that is published as a portable class library probably will work without problems on a Xamarin application. You have two ways to get third-party libraries into a Xamarin project. The first one is NuGet. So it's a C-sharp project. Right-click, manage NuGet packages, and you install the package. The NuGet now supports also the targets for Android and iOS applications made with Xamarin. The other one is a component store, which is a platform created by Xamarin. To get this platform, you need to install Xamarin Studio. Without Xamarin Studio, you don't have access. It's integrated also in Visual Studio, but it doesn't appear until you install Xamarin Studio. It's similar to NuGet, so you go into the package, you press install, and all the DLLs and the files are downloaded and added to the projects. The main difference between NuGet is that it supports also paid components. So there are companies that have created paid components and they are selling them on the store. So for example, as you can see now, this is free, these are paid. And you get a visual indicator on which platform are supported by that library. So which are the way you can use to create an application with Xamarin? Originally, there was just one approach, the Xamarin approach. But 1 year and a half ago, more or less, Xamarin introduced a new platform, which is called Xamarin Forms. So now you have two options when you want to create an application with Xamarin. The standard Xamarin approach is based on shared code pattern, meaning that when you create an application with this approach, you are sharing all the business logic of your application, and you are using the native tools to define the user interface and the user experience. So this means that you will have one or more portable class libraries. Is everyone knows what is a portable class library? Okay, a portable class library is a library that can be shared across different flavors of .NET framework projects, including Xamarin, iOS, and Android. And in this shared code, you add all the business logic of your application. So everything that is not connected to the way how data is presented. So you add database access, you add the interaction with a cloud service, you add interaction with a REST services, and then you create the UIs. You have a specific project for each platform. All the projects are referencing the same shared code, but you are creating a native user experience. So which are the pros of this approach? That you have access to all native APIs on the platform because you are creating an Android and iOS application, and you have access to all the user interface components. So you have access to all the user interface elements. And this approach, however, requires good knowledge and skills about the platform, because you are still targeting iOS and Android. So you need to know how Android and iOS works. You need to know how the application manages the background stuff, how the UI is made, how the life cycle of the application works. The only thing is that in the middle you don't have to learn a new language. And this is why in the beginning I told you that Xamarin is not a technology that can turn you into a one developer man. Because if you are working on a complex project, probably you'll still need three different people or three different teams. Because every person, every developer will have to gain a good knowledge of Android, of iOS, of Windows Phone. The good thing is that now, thanks to this shared code, all the teams have a common base and they can talk to each other. So they are committing the same shared code. When the customer asks you to add something new in the database or in the cloud service, you can do it just once. You can unit test this part and make sure that it's working on every platform. But at the same time, you are able to create an application that looks great on each platform, because you are creating an Android, iOS, and Windows application, not a generic application that runs everywhere. Is Xamarin Forms the right technology? Is Xamarin, the right technology for you? Well, yes, if you want to reuse the C# and .NET skills of your team. So if you have a team or you are a developer that already knows .NET and C#, yes, you will have to study, because you need to understand how Android and iOS work, but you can skip the language study, so you can keep using C#. And I assure you, when you start to see Objective code, you will be very happy that you don't have to start learning Objective-C to create an iOS app. The other advantage is that you are able to create apps that deeply integrate with the platform features. So think something that you can do with an Android and iOS application, interacting with Bluetooth, with beacons, with NFC, you can do it on Xamarin. There are no limitations. And is the right technology for you if your application is heavily based on business logic? So if you have a lot of business logics behind your application, Xamarin will help you to reuse it on every platform. Instead, if you have an application that it's not too much business logic, but more hardware integration, platform integration and stuff like that, Xamarin is useful anyway, because you can use your C# skills, but probably you won't be able to share that much between the different platforms. So is the right technology for me? No, your team doesn't have any skill in C# and .NET development. This is the most obvious thing. Xamarin, I think, is the best cross-platform technology right now, but for Microsoft developers. If you are a Java developer or an Objective-C developer, there are still advantages in using Xamarin, because with Objective-C or Java, you are not able to create a cross-platform application, but you still have the barrier language. So we still have to learn how to code in C#, how the .NET framework works, how to use Visual Studio. And is not the right technology for you if you are expecting to use Xamarin to create application without knowing the platform. So if your goal is, well, I already work with Windows Phone, I don't know anything about Android, let's make an Android app with Xamarin. No, it doesn't work this way. You need to know how Android works or how iOS works. So let's skip the demo, let's resume it later when we'll have a stable machine. And the other approach is Xamarin Forms. Xamarin Forms is not a new platform, but it's built on top of Xamarin. In fact, Xamarin Forms is released using a NuGet package. So when you create a new Xamarin Forms application, you get a project, you get four different projects, one shared and one for each platform, and all of these projects are comes with the NuGet package Xamarin Forms already installed. And Xamarin Forms allow you to share not just the logic, the business logic, but also the user interface. But however, you are still able to target code specific for each platform. The Xamarin Forms has some requirements, which means that if you want to use Xamarin Forms, you can target iOS 6.1 in advance, Android 4.0.1 in advance, Windows Phone 0 in advance. Right now the stable version supports just Silverlight, but a couple of months ago Xamarin has added preview support to Windows runtime. So you are able to start working with universal apps also with Xamarin Forms. So Xamarin Forms works with XAML. So you use XAML as a language to define the user interface of your application. And if you are a XAML developer, you'll find yourself at home, because it supports all the features that have made the XAML so popular and so powerful among Windows developers. So you have binding, you have data context, you have dependency properties, you have behaviors, you have triggers. The only things to highlight is that it's not the Microsoft XAML. Meaning that, especially when it comes to naming conventions, there are differences. So, for example, on Windows Phone, you have, if you want to display some text, you have the text block control. In Xamarin Form, it's called label. Or in XAML, in our XAML, you have the data context to define the binding context of a control. In Xamarin Forms, you have the binding context. However, they are more or less just naming differences. Under the hood, they work like the standard XAML. So again, if you are a XAML developer, you'll find yourself at home. This is an example about how Xamarin Forms work. So you add a control in the XAML page, and it gets rendered at runtime using the different controls provided by the platform. So the advantage of Xamarin Forms over Cordova, for example, is that you have a shared user interface, but you don't have the same look and feel on every platform. You still keep the native look and feel and the native user experience that Android, iOS, and Windows Phone provide to the user. Is Xamarin Forms the right technology for me? Yes, if you're building a prototype app. So maybe you want to showcase to your customer a prototype you want to of an app you are working on. Xamarin Forms is a great technology to do these things. Or maybe you are building a business app. So an application which relies a lot on business logic and has a UI which is simple and which is in common across every platform. So you have forms to fill, you have lists to look or to interact with, and you don't want to learn all the inner details of the platform, because Xamarin Forms is able to abstract many inner things of the platform. So for example, you can create a list of data without knowing how Android and iOS manages list of data. Or you can redirect the user to an URI, open the browser, without knowing how you need to do it on each platform. It's not instead the right technology for you if your app needs to deeply integrate with the platform specific feature. So if your application, for example, needs to work with Bluetooth, in-app purchases, NFC, things that are implemented in a completely different way on each platform, Xamarin Forms is not the right technology for you, because Xamarin Forms works best when you have a lot of things in common between each platform. If you have a lot of differences, it's best to use the standard Xamarin approach. Or it's not the right technology if your application needs to have a UI very different from each platform. So Xamarin Forms, as we've seen in the previous screen, helps you to have a common UI, and at the same time it helps you to follow the user interface of the platform, but the user interface needs to be similar on each platform. So I have a list, and it's a list on Windows, on Android, and iOS. I have a search box with a list of results. I have it on every platform. If I want an application that in the same page, for example, has a completely different layout on one platform rather than on the other, it's not the good technology for you, because the XAML you write gets rendered in the same way on each platform. So this was it about the introduction. So let's start from here. Code. Android. Okay, so let me get the introduction. Is everything clear about the first introduction? Do you have questions? Okay. I've installed also Visual Studio Code. Everybody knows what Visual Studio Code is? Did you ever see it? Visual Studio Code is a new visual editor that we have launched during build, and it's basically a lightweight version of Visual Studio that is useful especially to web developer, because it allows to debug and test code that runs with JavaScript, Node.js. It includes a Node.js debugger. It has Git integration, so you can interact directly with your repositories. And it was really well accepted at build, because this is one of the other things why the hell has frozen again. Because this editor is available also on Mac and on Linux. So it's not just for Windows, but for every platform. I'm not a web developer, so I don't use all the features, but I like it because it's very fast, and it has syntax highlighting and IntelliSense. So if you just need to open a class to see it, because you need to copy some code or you see something, it starts in about 2 seconds. While Visual Studio, since it needs to load the whole project, takes always a little bit more.